Every true Christian will become an outcast, even outcast by the church. You know why? It says this. The Lord said this. If you belong to the world would love you. But because you do not belong to the world will hate you. And if they persecuted the master, they will certainly persecute his disciples. If they have hated me, they will hate you. You will become an outcast in this world. It's people who, like Jacob, are willing to be crippled, their old man destroyed, who are willing to become outcast in this world. It is this kind of people God is looking for, so that he can show his loving kindness to them by blessing them after he has transformed them by this crippling operation. That is why, though I was crippled over the last 2 months, suffering at the beginning such pain, I do not mean pain, I should say agony. I have suffered pain before, but I haven't suffered agony. Agony such that just to stand up was enough to make the sweat run down from my face. And I'm talking not about Malaysia. I sweat all the time in Malaysia. I'm talking about Hong Kong, which is in winter season right now. It's quite cold. Agony. And yet I've experienced his loving kindness precisely like Jacob did. I was hanging on to the Lord and I said, Lord, you cripple me, that's fine. I will not let you go until you bless me. And then the Lord has taken me into deeper levels of spiritual experience that I have never experienced before. That is why I was able to conclude at the end of these 2 months of suffering, I could say, to say, I will, my Savior's praises I will sing and all his love express. Such a wonderful, amazing God that we have. And it is this kind of person that constitutes the temple. That is the crown of the mountain of the Lord that will be raised up. And you and I are part of that house. Because it is through you that God wants to reveal his glory to the world. Now the last days. This is a process, of course, that we are reading about in Micah. And this process is now in progress. And in the chronology of time, we can say that what will happen immediately after this, when God has done this amazing thing, which we are in the process of seeing him do now, and will be brought to a climax, the rising of the mountain doesn't mean it will shoot up in 1 second and suddenly, there's a mountain up there. It will rise. It's a process, rising up. But one more thing, which is striking, that I must mention as I close. The temple on the mountain of God is built by whom? Think about it. There is the other astonishing and remarkable thing that we have no time to examine now. A temple is never built by God. The temple is built by man. If you read in the Bible, the first temple was built by Solomon. The second temple was built by whom? By Nehemiah. It is man who builds the temple, but it is God who raises it up. And when we come to the New Testament, the same is true. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, I laid a foundation. The foundation that is laid is Christ, but I laid the foundation. And every man builds on it. What does that mean? You and I are called to the task of building this new house, this new church. And what God needs to do in this building process is to raise up shepherds. Notice the word raise up. These are the words in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 4 that I will leave you to read. And I see God doing this very thing. To build this new temple, this new house that God will raise up, he has to do first to call out the lame, those who are willing to be lame and willing to be outcast. And then he must raise up shepherds for the people. That is leaders. Term shepherds, leaders. That's where the word pastor comes from. Pastor is simply the Latin word for shepherd. God will raise up the mountain, but he must first raise up the shepherds to look after the lame and the outcast. God is doing this very thing. Maybe he is speaking to you and calling you out to raise you up to be one of the shepherds, so that this new house can be built. Because if the house has not been built, the mountain will be raised, but there's no house. It can't be called the mountain of the house. There has to be a house that crowns the mountain. That is why the mountain has first to have the house built on it. And that house is now in process of being built. And you and I, if God is pleased, will be part of that house. So that through you, God can reveal himself in such a way, this final climactic revelation, that is what this passage is speaking about, that will draw the whole world to God. Not to us, but to God. That is your high calling. When you go out of this camp, think of this amazing, marvelous passage. And think that you and I have been given the job, the task, to reveal God to those in your family, to those in your place of work, to the whole world. And by revealing God in your life, you will be drawn to God. You will be part of this marvelous plan that is mentioned here. What a glorious function we have. What a task we have in front of us in the next few years still to be accomplished. Together, to build this house that will be lifted up. To be willing to let God to make us the kind of people he wants us to be. To make us cripples if we have to be. To be willing to be outcasts from this world. To show forth his glory. Because the church is meant to be a sign. What is a sign? Well, a sign is what points the way. The miracle here is a sign. A sign that points to God. But not like a road sign. It is something that is unique. Something that's happening. You and I are meant to be unique. When we speak of you and I becoming unique, means you and I will become a sign, a miracle in ourselves that draws people to God. Now, a sign is something extraordinary, something unusual. Are you unusual? Are you extraordinary? Or are you so ordinary that nobody bothers with you? Your kind of Christianity is worth nothing. Nobody bothers. You have to be extraordinary. That's what you are called to. Now, extraordinary means something unusual. For example, if a snake bites a man, that's nothing extraordinary, is it? But if a man bites a snake, that's extraordinary. Take a look at this picture. Maybe you at the back will have a hard time seeing. See, Brother Soon provided me with a newspaper, so I thank him for this. Now you see what's happening? This man here is biting a snake. More than that, he's biting the head of the snake. I mean, it might be safer to bite the tail and keep the head away. But he's got the snake's head in his mouth, and what he actually does is he bites the head of the snake right off. Oh, what is the story here? It says Hong Kong restricts snake imports. You know how many snakes Hong Kong imports? It says here every year it imports 100,000 snakes, many of them poisonous ones. Why? Because Hong Kong people like to eat snakes. It's supposed to do all kinds of things, make you very virile or something, sexually active or all other kinds of stuff like this. But for some unknown reason, which is not explained here, in order to make these kind of snake soup, the guy who prepares the snake soup prepares the snake first by biting its head off. Well, I never knew that. It's quite new to me. And what he is biting here is a cobra. Now, I've heard of cobras biting people. I haven't heard of people biting cobras. This is entirely new to me. So this is really extraordinary. It really causes you to sit up and take notice. That's why I looked at this and I thought, oh, this is amazing. But God's purpose is much more significant than that. His purpose is to do something that makes us really much more extraordinary than that. It makes us so extraordinary. I'll try to conclude with this one verse that I'd like to leave in your mind to think about. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12. I wonder if you can live up to this calling. And just those few words, you needn't even turn to it if you haven't got your Bibles ready, because we are out of time. And I would like to sum it up in this one way, this one word. When we are reviled, we bless. Astonishing. What kind of people is this? The people of God are so unique that when they are reviled, that is slandered, sworn at, abused, spat upon, ridiculed, we bless the person who does that to them. I tell you, that is much more amazing than biting a snake. Oh, this is incredible. Nobody can do a thing like this except by the power of God. I would like you to set this as your standard, as well as my standard of the Christian life. This is the equivalent of what the Lord tried to get across to us. We are to be so unique that we can turn the other cheek. How many of you can do this? How many of us can be so remarkable that it draws the astonishment of the whole world? When somebody spits at you and you say, "The Lord bless you." What? What did you say? "The Lord bless you." "You know what I did to you just now?" "Oh yes, I know." That is why the church is called to be a sign, and that is why the Christians cannot do it. That is why the church fails. That is why the Lord has to cripple us before he can get this thing into our hearts and into our minds. If you and I can go out of this camp with this as our motto, when reviled, bless. When reviled, bless. If this is the motto that comes out of this camp, then we have really understood the theme of this camp. The mountain of the Lord will be exalted. How? By the church, the house on there, being the sign of God's power, his beauty, and as I said, his loving kindness. Because no one can bless somebody who curses you unless you manifest the overwhelming power of God's loving kindness, which was shown on the cross. Which was shown on the cross. Our time is more than gone, and we must close. But I hope that I have managed to summarize some of this most exciting and marvelous and practical elements of the Christian life. If you can't face the calling to manifest his glory by being so extraordinary that you show his loving kindness even to those who abuse you, then don't bother to be a Christian, because we have enough mediocrity and second and third rate Christianity in the world today. We don't need any more of this. This is our calling. And if we fail, we will be rejected. But if by God's grace we succeed, God will do wonderful things not only for us, but he will transform the world to us, as this passage promises. Let us pray.